Mark chapter 3, verse 21, and verse 31 and 32. Jesus and his family, part 1. Jesus and his family, part 1. Now you remember in verse 21, his family heard about Christ and what he was doing, the crowds that were coming, the way he was utterly consumed with meeting the people, his time is utterly taken up and so on. They went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And when we looked at that, I took the view that this is kindness on behalf of the family. This is a sympathy and an affection for him. And they're taking his best interest, as they see it, in hand. And there we read in verse 31, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived where he was, you see. And standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside, looking for you. Now, in the next discourse, we'll go on to see how Jesus reacted to this. But let's just think about Mary here, the mother of Christ, and the brothers, the family. Let's get some proper views of Mary, very briefly. Rome has ruined this for us, talking about the mother of God and all that blasphemous trash. No, no, no. Yes, but she was not the mother of God, but she was the mother of Jesus, and she was the virgin mother of Jesus. And it is proper to call her blessed, truly happy. She was highly favoured of God. She did magnify God. And we do call her happy and blessed. But she was just a woman, and as she herself confessed, she was a sinner. She wasn't immaculately conceived and all that kind of drivel. Not at all. No, no, she was an ordinary woman, a Jewish young lady, a sinner. She talked about her sin. She was not a perpetual virgin. She had children in a natural way. Jesus' mother and brothers arrived and so on. And the family were with her. Now, not all of them, at least in the beginning, were believers. We know that they tried to oppose Christ. And even here, that they're concerned for him, that they're going for him to help him, and so on. And we know that the brothers and the family tried to resist him. What did the early church make of Mary? Very, very little. She is mentioned in Acts 1:14 and so on. What festivals are set up in her name? Who prays to her? None of that drivel and blasphemy. We want none of that. But nevertheless, I think we've underplayed her in the evangelical world. We haven't given her quite the credit. All people will call me blessed. Rejoice. Let me magnify my soul. Let's magnify the Lord. And we want to join in with that. But let's come to this passage here now. Now, the family here, I put it, the motives are good, but they still want to interrupt Christ. They still, for his own good, of course, but their motive and intention may be good, but nevertheless, there's a kind of bossiness, we know better here, and we're going to put him right. But as Christ had to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, I believe, however lovely Mary is, and however lovely the brothers might be, let's give them the best credit. Even so, this is a real attempt, unknowingly to them, I'm sure, but the devil is trying to stop him. The attack has come inside the house, and here is another form of the attack. I think this is much of an attack as the temptation in the wilderness. And when Christ speaks about his death to Peter and the disciples, Peter says, no, 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 not you. Get thee behind me, Satan. I've come to do this work. And his family here, if he listened to them with their cries of wanting to help him and so on, it would have ruined his ministry. Now what do we learn from this? Our friends, our family, even with the best of motives, can be against us, brother and sister. And maybe I'm saying something I hope will be helpful to a brother or sister now, and your family is against you. Well, you know what Christ has said. You mustn't put the family first. It's a difficult decision, but it's clear Christ must come first. And the point is for Christ here, nothing is going to interfere with him in his work. But his family are against him here, and it must have hurt him. And what I'm trying to say, Hebrews 4 and 5, Jesus has been here before. You know, the once in royal David's city, and he feeleth for our sadness. And he is tempted in all points, even in this, brother and sister. Even if you have to suffer family against you, he has been there. Now, this hymn is anonymous. I don't know, Mr. Miss or Master, I don't know, whoever wrote it, but anonymous. Jesus, O name of power divine, to all of heavenly birth, Jesus, the never-failing mine of richest, sweetest worth, each bitter grief, each anxious care, O Lord, thy goodness knows. Jesus feels for us, my brother and sister. Let us cultivate this sense. My wounded spirit only there, mid conflicts, finds repose. Here love may meet a kindred heart, a kindred heart. Oh, and lovely Jesus has been here. But not a heart like thine, no, not a sinful one. Lord, from thy love I cannot part, nor canst thou part with mine. No, he won't let us go, brother and sister. With thee I cannot feel alone. Oh, I want to feel that. I want to know that I'm not alone, for I am with Christ, and Christ is with me. I cannot be forgot. Men forget me. Men heed thee, love thee not. The Master. The Master. Though friends are changing one by one, thou, Saviour, changes not. My future path, I know, may be a path of anxious care, but love has planned that path for me, that love in which I share. Yes, it's anonymous, but it's still good. And of course the text is, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. They went and told Jesus, and we have a high priest who feels for us at the right hand of God, and he is able to succor us and defend us and protect us to the end. What a friend we have in Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I preach it. May I live it out. May I experience it. Amen.